We're talking with First District Representative Mark Souter in the Idaho Legislature. Mark, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling me.
You're in your second year of the legislature. You were elected in 2022, so you have one session under your belt. So, what did you come away with from your first go in the legislature last year? And did you learn anything last year that's going to change your work or your approach this year?
Let's see. It's an interesting, fast-paced environment in Boise. There's a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of aspects of our state that you just don't really know about, that you learn about once you're there in Boise. Obviously, the number one thing we do is set a budget and a balanced budget for the state. So that puts all of the legislators in a position where you do learn at least a little bit about all the different state operations. So we have, we have to vote on every budget for all the different departments and operations for the state. So you learn a lot. And then you also learn that you really have to work with a lot of people to get anything done. And people have to work through, with you as well to get the votes for different bills and different approvals. So it really is a pretty interesting environment that way. Lots of people to learn to meet and build relationships with and build foundations with. So that's all been good. And then I think as far as this cycle, I think the people that I met last cycle and that I've stayed in touch with throughout the last 9 months, it's going to be real helpful. Because now obviously you can reach out to them and you've built a foundation of friendship and then some professional contacts as well. Plus you build relationships with people in the state staff that you may not. For instance, I can call the IDL director on a cell and or text with him when he's out elk hunting if I thought there was a reason to. And I know I would not have done that a year ago, but now I know I've met him in his office, and we've talked about a few different issues for up here. So you build those kind of relationships. So I think that'll be helpful as we move forward.
Yeah, I imagine you have to be in contact with many different threads of our community in the entire state, as you're saying. So, what committees are you assigned to in the legislature?
I'm assigned to education, agriculture, and judiciary rules. The judiciary rules, we did some things with corrections, some budgeting issues. Some were in the news, but you're not that busy doing that. You work on some rules as well for our state statutes on different penalties for different things. I imagine this time we'll hear a bill on fentanyl and what the state's penalties will be for that, and that'll very likely change. So then in agriculture, obviously, farming and ranching, there's a lot of that in the south end of the state, but remarkably we have quite a bit up here too. So that's important. We didn't really have that much to talk about for like forestry stuff up here. But we did, there is some farming stuff that we go through. And so that we were that act that committee was not quite as active with as many things to deal with. Some dairy stuff. So that was more of a learning opportunity. And then for education, we had lots of bills to look through, to consider and think about and vote on. And I would imagine we'll do the same thing this year. Education in our state's always of great interest to everyone, or it seems to be.
Are there other big issues you anticipate the legislature to take up this year, maybe outside of your specific committees?
I imagine we'll again look at property tax. Since we don't have the budget surplus, at least that I'm aware of right now, I don't anticipate we're going to be talking a lot about other tax rebates. But until next week, when we start getting into economic presentations, I won't know that. But I think there's always the interest in property in, you know, tax cuts or taxes. Infrastructure is always an issue. And then education, my guess is we'll have other discussions about school vouchers, and we'll see what comes up this time. We had a few different voucher bills last year that didn't make it to the floor to vote on, and we'll have some, you know, some other, you know, higher ed issues as well. My guess is we'll also have library bill that we'll or library bills that we'll have to consider, and that'll be interesting because I'm not sure how they're going to come through, if they'll come through the education committee or if they'll go through a different state committee, because it's a different, you know, code section, and they'll be directed maybe to or potentially to state affairs or something. So we'll have to see on that too.
Okay. Well, let's dig in on a couple things on education. You mentioned school vouchers. I think last year the legislation was talking about those as education savings accounts. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, on the plus side, gives parents some choice about how their tax money might go towards their specific kids. But the criticism is that money can be taken away from the financing that the public schools need. And so where do you fall on the school voucher question?
I did not support the voucher bills that were brought forward last year. My concern was that, you know, other states that have done this, Indiana, Arizona, that you almost set up a parallel school system. And you're right. I think Arizona has a $100 million, you know, school voucher program that seems to be growing. So group government, they have like 40 or 50 people assigned from the state to manage that program. So I thought it was a costly program, and it also takes away from public schools, and that's in our state constitution. So I didn't support that. I think this year there may be some interest in having it as a tax rebate, but I'll wait and see, you know, what that bill looks like and read it and see how it would impact our district and then our schools in general. So it's tough. I don't like to speculate, so we'll wait and see on that. But the way I understand it now, it's a tax rebate is the way it'll come forward this year. And then there were other programs to help parents with their school costs. There's a state program that parents can get up to $1,000 to spend on their children's education, public and private schools. Mm-hmm. So they can buy school supplies, even extracurricular supplies. So there's lots of ways that money can be used. There's a state committee that oversees that. And I think in general, that was considered a good program for the state, across the state. So there currently is state support for different school spending. So it's not just, you know, we don't just fund public education, but clearly that's the majority of it.
Okay. On the education front, another concern I know with our local school district is some of the facilities are quite aged now, and some of them are actually failing and in need of renovation or replacement. I know there's a citizen committee right now working in our own Lake Pendre School District to assess mm-hmm. buildings and come up with a plan. Are we likely to see the state contributing to helping with school facility construction or replacement?
We'll wait, you know, again, wait and see. My understanding is, and I've talked to state staff about this, there is the money that's set aside that they're starting to earmark. I'm not sure how it's going to come out, if it'll be the $500 million that's been discussed or what that number will actually be. It's got to go through a couple of different committees in the Capitol, but there is money that's been earmarked right now for capital improvements for schools, whether it's building new schools or remodeling or renovating the schools that we have. And you're right, we have schools at West Bonner Schools District. district have schools that need that are old and need to be replaced. Certainly, Lake Pend'Oreille district has them, and then the same up in Bonners Ferry. They have a couple of older elementary schools that need to be need serious work or just flat out replacement. So, and I'm aware of the committee that's going on, that's been formed and has started to meet with the Pend'Oreille School District. In fact, I even went to one of their meetings a couple week or week and a half ago. So that's a real good, sounds like it's a good start to figure out what schools they think are the highest priority to get work started on, and then how they can go about taking care of the whole district. So Dr. Meyer's working on that project, and I think they'll come up with some good solutions.
Dr. Meyer's our superintendent of schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, another topic that's always of interest here and down in the legislature too, because it's a big function of our state government, is our roads and highways. And do you expect anything new or of particular interest to your constituents up here in terms of funding questions, I suppose, would probably be the main thing, or projects that might affect this?
I'm not aware of any major projects like the Granite Hill improvement that we had south of here.
On Highway 95, yeah.
Yeah, up on Highway 95. I'm not aware of anything that's been major. I know that they should finish up the MacArthur Lake, I call it the curve. Mm-hmm. That project should be finished up this year.
And that's under construction right now if you go north on 95, yeah.
Right. So that should be finished up. So I think it'll be just more of a continued maintenance program and some improvements. I think in the last year we've done a number of culvert and bridge repairs in Bonner County. So they've had some, good luck getting projects funded that way. So, but I'm not aware of any, a major funding of specific infrastructure projects in our area. Again, I'll hear more once I get down there. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, we've gotten some pretty healthy projects here. I mean, the biggest one being the bypass around Sandpoint, but there was the big expansion in the bridge in Dover. So mm-hmm. we've seen some pretty large projects. Okay. Well, any other specific bits of legislation that you wanted to touch on that you see coming down the pike this season?
I think there's a couple of different bills that are coming out that I'm truly trying to investigate and make sure I understand, and so I can vote responsibly. There's one on what's called PBMs, which is pharmacy benefit managers, and that's it's a complicated issue, but health insurance companies hire pharmacy benefit managers to deal with pharmacies and the cost of pharmaceuticals and reimbursements. And they've done a pretty good job of trying to cut costs. And fortunately, our local pharmacies have also fallen victim to some of this cost cutting and trimming. So I know there's a bill that's coming up, and like I said, I'm trying to investigate it with the Department of Pharmacies. I've already spoken to a couple of our pharmacy owners about it and asked them how it will affect us and if it will help them. It sounds like it might, so I'll be looking at that. But one of our pharmacy are in town here, they service 13,000 clients here in our area. So, healthcare is a big thing here. And you talk about our own pharmacies and how they work. It's a long way to go to Coeur d'Alene to get your prescription filled. So we need to make sure we take care of our local options for healthcare. Not everybody can get on down to Coeur d'Alene and do that. So just like our hospital, it's a critical piece of our community. And we need to make sure we do our best to keep that in good shape.
Okay, that's one people might want to keep an eye on. the
Yeah.
pharmacy benefit manager bill that's you're likely going to be considering. You mentioned there's
Yeah.
another one.
Yeah. There's a, it's been happening for a few years, or not just a couple, but insurance, because of the number of different wildland fires and, you know, that occurred across the country, and the just the large loss with some of these, whether it's Paradise or, you know, there's lots of fires that have happened in Colorado and they burned, you know, big neighborhoods. Because of that, the insurance industry is starting to really look at the wildland urban interface problems across the country and starting to really charge a lot for their insurance, or actually decide not to insure people. So there are a couple of states that have started to start programs that would act as a bit of a backstop for insurance companies and give them a little more comfort that what they're insuring isn't just all on them. So we may, I'm thinking we're going to see a bill that's going to address some of that, and we'll just have to wait and see what the how the bill reads, and then see how it looks for us locally. But I know we have people in our area that are outside of the fire districts that have a hard time getting insurance or paying a considerable amount for it. So that anything that impacts our residents is something that I'm certainly, you know, interested in, and seeing what we can do to alleviate those problems.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of our rural residents here who live in forested lands that might be impacted by this the fire insurance issue. We only got a couple minutes left here. So you've announced that you're running for re-election. I had a question for you concerning the Republican Party and how that's shaping up. It seems like the Republican Party has got different factions within it. Last April, the Bonner County Republican Central Committee censured you in a vote of no confidence because, according to them, you failed to represent the Republican platform. And they've also brought up two of the Bonner County commissioners for censure votes. How do you shape up these divisions within the party, and how do you see them affecting this coming election?
Well, my best answer for how it will affect the future, I don't know how all that's going to play out. I do know, or at least as far as the stuff that's happened with me, I feel like I have voted as a conservative and a Republican. So I think we have some disagreements as far as how we look at the platform and how responsible it is for our community. When you take the oath as one of our representatives, you represent our community, and that's a little different than just saying that I follow along with the platform itself. So there's a difference there. But anyway, I feel like I voted that way, and I guess really we're going to hear about it once I when I run in the primary, and we'll let the community decide what they think, if I voted for our community or if I'm due to vote for the Republican Party only. So I think you have to vote.
However that ends up being defined.
Yeah. So there's some real differences. And then as far as West Bonner goes, you know, there's a lot of people over in West Bonner that they take great pride in their schools and in their kids and their communities. And I think that's important. Everybody cares about their school system. And I think they want to educate their kids, and I think it's really no different than here. You know, we want to educate our kids. We want them to grow up. We want them to have jobs when they grow up and fill those jobs and have a good school system and a good healthcare system, so they can live out their lives here, generations. We all want the best for our families and we all need to have sustainable communities. And healthcare and education and jobs are three, you know, important things to have.
Well, Representative Mark Souder, thank you for talking with us. We're out of time now. If folks want to get a hold of you during this next session, your constituents want to get in touch with you about anything that they have, any needs they see, how do they do that?
My email is msauder@ house.idaho.gov, and I plan to reach out and write a number of different articles for all the different publications. I'll try and be active in writing articles and letting people know what's going on as well. And then in each of those articles, at the end of it, I list my contacts as well.
Folks can go to the legislative website. It's legislature.idaho.gov, G-O-V,
yep.
And their contacts there too. Okay, Mark Sauter, again, thank you for talking with us.
Oh, thanks, Chris.